Across the UK, across continental North America, and around the world. On the internet, by webcast and by podcast, my name is Howard Hughes, and this is The Unexplained. Very sorry if this edition is very slightly later than anticipated. Life has been a little silly, but hopefully we'll be getting more manageable quite soon. I mentioned on the last edition that I've dropped a little bit of the radio work that I do to allow me more time to sort this out. Dropping the radio work means, of course, that my income goes down, so the whole thing is a bit of a gamble, but I need to be putting more effort into this. And so that's what I'm going to do. More on that coming soon, but the benefits of it should be felt within the next couple of months, I would say. Thank you very much to Adam, my webmaster at Creative Hotspot. Adam, I hope you're bearing up and keeping well. Thanks very much for all that you do. Guest on this edition, Maria D'Andrea, who has, in New York, an awful lot of credits to her name. Her biography says that she's built a reputation over the last several decades as a professional spiritual reader, psychic, public speaker, shaman, healing minister, business consultant, spiritual teacher, meditation facilitator, published author, among many other things. She was one of the original psychics associated with Tim Beckley's New York School of Occult Arts and Sciences, and it's Tim who got in touch to recommend Maria for this show. She's going to be talking about the power that words have on many levels. I've always believed that, partly because I work in the medium of words, but also for other reasons. So we see on this edition what Maria D'Andrea in New York City has to say to us, and thank you to her for making time. Shout-outs. I'm going to do as many as I can on this edition. Thank you for getting in touch. If you want to get in touch, please tell me who you are, where you are, and how you use the show. Go to my website, theunexplained.tv. That's theunexplained.tv, and you can leave a message for me there. And if you'd like to make a donation, then that would be great if you possibly can. All right, shout-outs. Chris in West Seneca, New York, listening on the ride-on lawnmower. Conjures up a whole image of you sitting there with the autumn leaves all around you, cruising around the garden on this lawnmower, listening to the show. Chris, thank you for that. Alan in Warrington, superb show on Sunday nights. He's talking about the radio show. Would be interested in knowing more about those files you told me about, Alan, the one from your uncle or the ones from your uncle. If you could get in touch about that, be very interested. Mr. Norgrove says, I'm a fellow Brit, and the things I'm interested in are more about time travel and also missing 411. That's David Paulides, of course. Thank you. David in Aurora, Colorado says, after tiring of listening to MSM during my commute to work, I started looking for podcasts, and after a number of disappointments, I stumbled across your website and have been hooked ever since. Your shows are intriguing, your questions are thought-provoking, and I love your voice. Thank you, David. Mika in Finland says, I love your show and wanted to tell you that Finland is also listening. Mika, thank you for that. Also says, keep up the good work. Many thanks. Hello, Howard. It's 2:58 a.m. on September 29th, and I'm checking your old podcast. I've downloaded and listened to every single episode. I work nights in a supermarket and have done that for the last 9 years. Your podcasts are looked forward to immensely. Thank you, says Jim in Stockport. Best podcast anywhere. Thanks very much. Wayne has lived with shadow people virtually all his life. He's now 37 and recently had some hypnotic regression. And I think you've got a recording of that. If you can let me hear that, that would be great. I don't know if it's possible to MP3 that, Wayne, but be keen to hear it. Your website is an excellent mix of science, mystery, etc. Big thank you. I try to tell as many people about your talk radio show and the podcast as I can. That's Martin Butcher from Sudbury in Suffolk. Thanks, Martin. From Carl Stewart, I was just wondering if you're planning to interview any mediums in the near future. Well, we've got a psychic coming on. Yes, always plans to do mediums. And also, I might get Christian Dion on the radio show again. Super psychic Christian Dion. So listen out for that, Carl. Mick Bremner says, have you ever considered Harold Posner, the author of JFK Case Closed, on the show? Mr. Posner's view is that Lee Harvey Oswald assassinated JFK and that he acted alone, which is becoming a controversial view in itself, isn't it? Thank you for that, Mick. Byron in British Columbia, Canada, thank you for your great email. Andy in Northumberland, thank you for the suggestion. Tom Calvin says, I've been listening to your shows for about a year and love them. My friend at work, Becky, also listens, and we often discuss your shows. Keep up the good work. And we like the way that you don't let guests off the hook with easy questions. Well, we try. Peter Evans in Swansea, South Wales, Southwest Wales, big fan of the radio show, And I'm looking into the thing you emailed about, Peter, thank you. Claire says, my friend Felix introduced me to your show. If I could show you just how much your voice, guests and theories have changed the hours of my life, from walking through mud to complete joy, it would be one of the greatest mysteries you would ever have heard about. Love your show beyond words. Thank you, Claire, and also baby Cam and friend Felix. Nice to hear from you. Jewel K on Vancouver Island says, when you were discussing The Secret, there is also The Secret Universal Mind Meditation.
Okay.
It's an audio, you say, based on U.S. Anderson's theory. I don't know anything about this, but I'll try and find out. And thank you for that, Jewel K. Scott in Bellingham, Washington, USA, says, hello, Howard. If I may call you that, you certainly can. Just listen to Major Ed Dames, who was on the radio show, and I also put him on the podcast. Scott says, I do believe that remote viewing's possible. I've done it myself. I think, you know, as far as I can have an opinion, I think from what I've learned over the years, I think probably there are people who can do this or something like it. The big secret, of course, is being able to discern those who can from those who think they can. But I find Major Ed Dames always a fascinating and interesting guest, and I've known him for a lot of years. Raff from Staines near London, commuting into Newbury in Berkshire, says, as to Ed Dane's predictions, his assertions there'll be no new president after Obama, we'll all be able to confront with reality before this year is out. Absolutely right, Raf. Thank you very much. My website is theunexplained.tv. That's the place to go if you want to send me an email. Follow the link from there, and always grateful to hear from you. And if you can make a donation to allow this show to continue, that, as they say, would be gratefully received. Let's get to New York City, 5 hours behind London town, and talk with Maria D'Andrea about, among other things, the power of words. Maria, thank you for coming on.
Thank you for inviting me on your show. I'm so excited about it.
Hey, I can tell. I know that your biography says you were born in Budapest, but Maria, if nobody's told you, you've managed to pick up that fantastic sound of New York.
Well, I've been here a very long time.
But, you know, I love New York. I know the phrase has been used before, Maria, but I love New York because I think it's very much like my home city. I'm from Liverpool, right? And Liverpool's a port city, even looks a bit like New York. The streets are laid out in the same way.
Nice. And
all of our connections, you know, all of the seafarers, they went to North America. My grandfather was a seafarer in the Merchant Navy. He went to New York, and I've got uncles who went to New York. So it's kind of like a second home for me in a lot of ways. So sounds to me like you're very much part of it. Which bit of New York are you in?
I'm out on Long Island in Huntington.
Long Island, okay. So it's kind of residential, hey?
Well, a little bit more so. However, I tend to go to the city and in more because I like people. Mm. So I like to be around them a lot more.
It's actually quite fortunate if you live in New York, you have to like people really because they're everywhere.
Well, okay. It's funny because I speak internationally and I've been to different countries and it doesn't matter where I go. Everybody's friendly. They're warm. I'm very lucky like that.
Yeah,
I always meet nice people.
I think some of us are quite magnetic for people. I'm one of those people, maybe you are too, mm-hmm. who I can be sitting on a train or I can be going somewhere or doing something. And somebody will just start talking to me. And I think, do I know you? Where have we met before? Yes.
It's funny because you end up knowing people's wonderful life stories and then you get off the train and you never see them again.
You do. I wonder if it's safe for me to tell this story. I was on a train once, more than 10 mm-hmm. years ago, and a woman from Australia was sitting opposite me, and she started talking to me, and she said, I'm doing a world tour. My husband died. Oh, I'm so sorry. Aww. She said, it's okay. I didn't really like him.
You have to love it. It's hysterical.
Well, it is. All right. Now, let's talk about you, because there are a lot of descriptions for you, according to this biography that I'm holding in my hand right now. And I wonder which fits best. Your website seems to center on the psychic stuff, right?
Yes. Well, actually, I do a lot of things. I'm a public speaker on the spiritual, psychic, and the paranormal. And then I'm an interfaith minister, but I'm also a shaman through Europe and some of the Native American tribes in the USA, like the Tuscarora tribe. I'm connected to some of the tribes on Long Island. So I do a lot of different things. And then I'm a published author, so I have a lot of metaphysical books out, but they're all how-to, because I truly believe the more you can do for yourself, the better you do and the better people around you do. So I have a lot of different books out. Some of them I co-authored with wonderful people. And then I also have a new series out called Yes, You Can series.
When you say new series, you want a TV series? Is that a TV series?
No, this is a book series. Mm. And actually, I always tell people, put my name into Google first, because I have a lot of books on Amazon, Kindle Nook. I'm on YouTube. I had a TV show. Some of those are on YouTube. Some that I'm just interviewed on. You know, then I have different websites. So I always laugh because the printer that does my business cards and my flyers, he says, look, all you really need to do is put something that says, not astrology.
What?
I pretty much do everything else. And then, of course, I do readings and I teach people how to do it for themselves.
All right. Okay. You've suggested this, but we don't have to go there. But what have you got against astrology?
Oh, absolutely nothing. I think astrology is a wonderful, wonderful field. Unfortunately, I'm a Leo and I don't have the patience for it.
No, well, look.
It's psychically, if I can pick up the information immediately, I don't have the patience for the charts.
Okay. Well, one of my friends in American lady called Shelley Von Strunkel in London, does syndicated columns all over the world. And Shelley's been on my show a lot of times, and I've known her for years. You're right about it being something that you have to be very methodical about. And I have to say, I'm a crazy Gemini, and I wouldn't have the time for it either, you know? It's just no time for that stuff. One of the things you said, one of the things in your biography, is that you're a shaman linked to the Native American tribes. How does that work?
Well, actually, it's really funny. I'm a shaman through Hungary, and I was talking to a couple of the people that are Native American because they actually got in touch with me for readings. And it's really funny. The chief of the Tuscarora tribe, his name is Chief Wise Owl. Unfortunately, he passed away a few years ago. And the first time he called me, we used to laugh about it because he'd get on the phone. And, you know, when you see the old Westerns of the TV movies about how they used to speak, well, he would get on the phone and kid around with me and speak like that. So the first time he called me, I thought one of my friends was kidding. And I said, oh, you have to stop that. And we hung up and he called me back and he said, no, I'm really a chief. You know, so he used to tease me that I'm the only Hungarian Native American shaman because there's no such thing. A shaman is a shaman internationally.
Right. And as a shaman, what do you do? I've met people who claim to be shaman in Africa, and I know what they do, but what do you do?
Okay, basically a shaman in every culture, if you think tribal, does everything. So as an example, when you think of the tribes, and I'm saying like Hungary was a nomadic tribe originally, so all cultures. Basically, it means you do everything. So as an example, you're the religious leader of the tribe, which is why I'm an interfaith minister. You're a counselor in the tribe, which is why I counsel as a pastoral counselor. It means that you're the medicine woman up to a point because you also have medicine women. And that means that you do healing. So I'm a healer. It means you do prophecy to help the tribe decide what direction to go in, what decisions to make that would help them move forward in life. So that's why I do readings. So it's really everything. So if you're only doing like one aspect, you're really not a shaman. A shaman means you do everything. It takes a long time to get there. Mm.
And do you read for people, or like a lot of the native peoples of this world, do you read for the planet?
I do both. Most of the time, in all honesty, I read more for individuals. I read for groups that might help them, as an example. I deal with a lot of corporate people because, thankfully, they want to do business without ripping people off to make sure that they're ethical with their employees or their employers. So I really like that part. It's like, oh, yay, we have positive people. I used to work with the military a little bit, but I stopped doing that.
Okay, talk to me about as far as you can. I mean, I don't want you to break the Official Secrets Act or whatever it might be there, but what were you doing for the military?
Actually, I was a tracker. Because basically what they did was they would lose things, which just happens, you know, we're all human beings, and I would find different things for them or different people. So I didn't feel comfortable with it after a while.
Okay, and look,
so I decided just not to do that.
That's understandable, but fascinating though still. If you had to track down, I don't know, if you lost missile or something like that, what sorts of things did you have to track down for them?
Well, I really can't say.
Okay.
I did say people for one, but I really, you know, can't talk past
all right,
that.
Well, how about telling me about the mechanism then? How would you do it?
Well, that's a little harder to explain. Basically, I'm psychic on a lot of different levels. You know, so most people always say they have one ability. I truly believe everybody is psychic and intuitive. That's why I teach it. Usually, I just know. So as long as I have basic information, as an example, say I'm dealing with somebody in the public and they can't find their pet. I couldn't think of another example.
No, that's fine. Okay? Yeah. People lose dogs and cats all the time.
Right, you know, or whatever. So what I would need basically is the name that they gave the little guy, what type it is, and more or less how old it is, and that's really all I need. Same thing with the reading. All I really need with the reading is for the person to talk to me or to text or to, you know, send mail or to email or just to get in touch. All I need is their name and more or less how old they are. That's it.
Okay, so I come to you and I've lost my dog. I don't have a dog, but if I had a dog, I'd come to you and I'd say, little Snuckles has gone missing in Central Park somewhere. Can you locate Snuckles? And how do you do that?
Well, again, I really can't explain it only because there's no way to explain it. It's like, I just know. So what I do is I take a couple of minutes to meditate. I tune in upstairs, for lack of a better term, and it just comes to me. It's like they have a lot of rituals and procedures in the occult. And I always forget to say paranormal. Occult just means ancient wisdom, hidden knowledge. It isn't positive or negative. It's not religion. It just means we understand nature to work with nature to create things or to cancel things that are negative to us in a positive way.
But if you locate...
So it's just tuning in.
If you...
This is what it's like. It's like if you're listening to the radio and you're changing the stations and sometimes you hear the static and then when you tune into the right station, you can hear the sound. It's like that.
Okay. But for you make it sound really easy because you do it. Okay.
I can't think of another way to really explain.
I don't do it, but I'm just carrying on with the analogy of my little dog Snuckles who went missing I'm still really upset about this. Went missing in Central Park. And you get the message that Snuckles is actually in a little grassy knoll area very close to
Mickey, I would see it.
Very close to where Mickey Mantles is.
Well, that's what happens is I see it and then I can describe where it is. Yeah. I'll give you an example.
Yeah.
I was dealing with some detectives years ago and somebody was shot and killed in Manhattan in a bar. And you know how that is when the police and the detective asked if anybody in the middle of the bar saw what happened. Everybody said no.
That's right? Yeah, that happens.
Of course. So what I did was I told them that there were three people involved, not one. I saw them literally, I was seeing a map and I was seeing them crossing the Kentucky border line within a certain amount of days. And sometimes people listen to me as detectives, sometimes they do not. And they actually caught all three people crossing the border.
When did this happen? When did this happen, Maria?
Sometimes.
When did this happen?
This happened a couple of years ago.
All right. And what have they apprehended those people? Are they now in the slammer?
I have no idea because after I found them and they told me I don't need to work on it anymore, I'm done.
When you work,
I would assume.
Okay. When you work for the police and you get it right for them, and, you know, I only have your word for that, and I'm going to get listeners saying she's making it all up, but, you know, we're hearing what you say.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said a lot of times when I do different shows like TV or radio or whatever, you know, I'll do readings on the air sometimes because if somebody asks a question, I don't know them, I don't know where they are, and I can still give them an answer.
Okay, well, listen, I have a radio show that airs right across the UK. I have a live radio show on Sunday nights that is done separate to this podcast, right, that goes all over the world. So if you want to come on and do readings for people, as long as you're happy to accept that some people don't buy into this stuff and that we have to be...
I'd love to.
In the UK, we have to be impartial and we have to offer it for entertainment purposes. That's how the radio rules work in this country.
Right. No, I'd be more than happy to. And honestly, we are not trying to convert anybody. Mm. We're not trying to have them see things our way. You know, that's like if somebody's an artist and nobody likes their artwork, they're still an artist.
Okay, now look, I've got friends who are remote viewers. I know Major Ed Dames quite well, who was a guest very often on the old Art Bell show and became a friend of mine about 15 years or so ago. I find him fascinating. I'm not sure what it is he does have, but there's something about him, right? And Major Ed Dames says that by using remote viewing, which sounds to me like what you're doing, he's connecting into a collective unconscious. In other words, there's a pool of information up there. Some people are just good at accessing it.
Exactly. It's really the same thing. Some people call it remote viewing. It just has different labels, but it's the same thing.
So when you manage to...
And he's right, it's exactly what we do. It's like tapping into a source.
When you manage to apprehend these three people on the way to Kentucky, and the police said, thank you very much, you got them, do they give you a reward for that?
No. And don't you think they should?
Well, listen, I'm not allowed a view, but it's just interesting to know, that's all.
Well, you know, sometimes if you work with detectives, you know, they pay you. Sometimes they don't. But we do try to help people because I always look at it as much as I do readings, basically, and the other things for a living, we do need to put back because life's a circle. So everybody can't. Everything can't be money-based.
Okay. Are you concerned?
So we do have to put back. I deal with organizations to give my time. You know, there is that circle.
Okay. Are you concerned that by doing this, and I get people emailing me this and saying this, and I've sometimes wondered about this and been a little concerned, that by doing any of these things, you are unbalancing a natural order of things. And if you unbalance a natural order of things to get a good outcome, admittedly, then the reverse of that is something bad has to happen.
Okay. I don't really look at it like that. So this is the best way I can explain it. And I tell people this that are new to readings. Okay. The way I work is this. If I'm telling somebody in a reading something positive, if they leave their life alone, that's exactly how it's coming up. It's your natural path of life. If I'm telling somebody something negative, it will always tell them what's negative, what caused it. And it will always tell people what they can do themselves, not me, what they can do themselves to avoid it, improve it, or change it in some way to make it better. Then it's their free will whether they make the change or not. Now, if something negative is coming up where they have no control and they're not supposed to avoid it at all, I will never get that in a psychic reading because they were not meant to change anything. But that's why we have free will. If there's something where it has flexibility because there are different paths, and, you know, we make our decision even every day by do we choose to go in one parkway or another parkway, right? So it gives you that flexibility of free will. However, like I said, if you're not meant to change anything, if you're meant to go through an experience, I would never get that in the reading. It's not like somebody upstairs going, ha-ha, it won't work.
So you're saying that if there is something that is meant to happen, and, you know, I believe that in life there are some inevitabilities and there are things you cannot change. So if something is meant to happen for somebody, you're saying that the cosmic telephonist up there will just simply not put that information through to you.
Exactly, because sometimes we have to go through experiences to learn from them.
Okay.
So I would never get information that they are not supposed to deal with, you know, that they have no conscious ability to change. If they're not meant to change it, if they have to go through the experience, I simply won't get the information.
So if they then subsequently go through something bad and they come to you and say, well, some psychic you are, you didn't tell me about that. You just say, well, you know, I don't get told those things. Now, there are going to be people you know who will say, what a great excuse that is.
No, I tell people that up front before I do a reading. Because if they're not comfortable with it, they need to know ahead of time how I work. Everybody doesn't work the same way.
Okay, just explain that. Does that mean you get a sense of the bad thing that's going to happen, or you don't get any sense of the bad thing that's going to happen? And if you don't get any sense of the bad thing that's going to happen, then how can you be a psychic?
Well, we only get, personally, I only get information where they can still prevent it, change it, or improve it. If they have no control over it, what's the point?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, you know that the skeptics are going to say that is the best get out of jail card in the world ever.
Oh, that's okay. We're not trying to convert anybody.
Talk to me through this work, and you don't have to name any names, and we don't have to get too explicit about any of it. The ways that you think that you've helped people, people who've come to you in a fix, people needing information, people wanting reassurance, whatever it might be, how do you think you've helped them?
Well, part of it, I feel, is letting them know what is their best path, what is their best direction, how they can improve their life spiritually, financially, emotionally, health-wise, whatever the situation is. And then once I tell them, it's their free will whether they move on it or not. Okay. But I do feel that most people move on it because I get feedback from them. So I really feel I help them make better decisions. When you're doing a psychic reading, we're not supposed to tell people what to do. It's meant as a guide. Whether they listen or not, that's free will.
Okay. So, but if somebody comes to you, do you expect people to come with you and come to you and say, Maria, I've just opened a burger bar in Hoboken. It's not doing so well. How's it going to do? Do you expect them to give you information or do you actually tell them you've got a burger bar in Hoboken?
Well, okay. This is how it works. Okay. What I do in a reading is I tell people everything that I see first. I don't want to know anything ahead of time. If they have specific questions, like they have a burger bun and how to improve it, if they have a specific question, I put that in at the end, and I only put it in at the end. And the reason is this. If they ask questions in the beginning and then I do the reading after, they don't know me enough to know if that subject would have come up or not. However, what comes up in a reading is what you need to know, not what you want to know. So as an example, I had a wonderful gentleman years ago, and the whole reading was about his business. He had a partner and how he was going to go bankrupt and how to avoid it. The only thing he wanted to know about was his girlfriend. Now, his girlfriend didn't show up in a reading because for some reason the universe thought food and survival was a little bit more important. However, with the question, we covered what he was interested in about the girlfriend.
Right.
So that's really how it works. I never know what's going to come up ahead of time in a reading. Never. That's like if people are going to do something at a distance, a lot of times what I say is I may ask you how many questions you have so that I can gauge time. I don't want to know what the questions are.
Now, you charge for this, I know, as many people
yes,
do, because everybody's got to eat. I know that.
Yeah, for some reason, the phone company doesn't want to barter.
Yeah, sad that I've discovered that myself too.
Isn't that a shame?
But it is a terrible shame. You know, I'm trying to change their mind on that one.
Yeah, well, the thing too is that, I write a lot of books that tell people how they can do things for themselves and to understand things better, because I really believe that the more people can do for themselves, the better it is. And I truly believe everybody is psychic on some level or an intuitive. Everybody has a gut feeling. That's why I always look at it as I feel the most dominant ability that I truly believe everybody has on some level, whether they acknowledge it or not, is that people just know. Apparently, it's called clairsentience. I always laugh because in Hungary, either you can do something or you can't. We don't care what you call it, you know. But as an example, and I'm sure everybody's had this experience. Have you ever noticed that once in a while, when you first meet somebody, never met them before, when you first meet somebody, immediately you either like them or you don't, and there's no logical reason. And we've all had that in some situations. Or you have a wonderful friend that has a stupid idea.
All the time.
Okay. That's psychic. The only difference is that some of us can tune into it more consciously. Like some people are artists, but everybody can draw. Well, okay, I don't want to lie. I can't draw a stick figure. I can write books. Can't draw a stick figure. It's embarrassing.
Can you use this gift for yourself?
Yes. It's limited, though. The difference is I can't get details for myself. I can get information more along the line of yes or no, but I really don't get much detail.
All right. Have you been able to help yourself? I mean, look, I know that you've got a successful website and you've got books out there and a TV show and all that other stuff. Have you used your psychic abilities in any of that? In other words, have you tried to see for yourself whether or not you're going to be really successful at this?
I don't really check on that. I honestly just look at it as I'm really working on it the best that I can. If I branch into a new business or a new ability, then I check. But I don't check normally.
Now, the person who put me in touch with you...
if something's going to work or not. Okay. So I don't waste my time or energy. As an example, I'm going to be teaching people how to become ministers, and then I ordained them, and I've been sending them out to do ministry work for years now, but I'm getting a little bit more focused on it because that's international eventually. But I check to see if I'm doing the right thing, if it's positive for people for me to do that or not. Just because I want to do something doesn't mean it actually helps people. So I always just check to make sure I'm helping others too. That's okay. Like that. The most recent book I have out is called Supernatural Words of Power.
All right, I want to get to that.
Really,
I don't want to get to that.
We can all use that.
Great. I don't want to get to that just yet. A couple of things I want to talk to about that before, around that before we get to that. Now, I've just got to explain to my listener before my listener starts saying, you're interrupting this woman. It's not that. We've got a little bit of a delay on this digital connection, and it's still workable. It's still okay, but it's not that I'm diving in there. It's just that there's a tiny little bit of a delay. But we can cope with it, can't we, Maria?
Of course. Nothing's a problem.
Exactly. Right. Now, according to this biography, which I'm very much relying on here, you were one of the original psychics associated with Tim Beckley. This is the man who got in touch with me about you. His New York School of Occult Arts and Scientists. Tell me about that.
Well, basically, first of all, he happens to be my publisher, and he's a wonderful, wonderful gentleman. He has his own books out, and he's an expert in conspiracy theories and UFOs. So he actually understands what I do rather than some people, it's just a job and they don't have a clue. So he had that school because he wanted to help people, and he still wants to help people. And basically what we did was we did readings, we were teaching, and we were doing seminars and workshops to help people as an example, to understand about, as an example, the angelic fields, what they really are, how they can do readings, how they can tune in and help other people. As an example, how they can manifest, because there really is inner power in everybody. So we were teaching people how to use their own inner power in different ways, depending on what their strengths are in that area, to bring positive things into their lives or to cancel out or get rid of negative things in their lives in a positive way. We never, never teach negative. We don't do anything negative. We really believe in karma, that what you put out comes back. Because I look at it as an example, helping people as, you know, when the phones used to have the wire. So I look at it as my source is at one at the end of the phone. I'm the other end of the phone. My client is at the other end of the phone, and I'm just the wire. So none of it is my opinion. If it was my opinion, it would probably be 110% wrong.
Now, one of the questions I was going to ask you, right? One of the questions I was going to ask you when we got overtaken by this delay on the line, when I talked about you charge for this, you must have had people coming back occasionally saying, look, none of this happened. I want my money back. And if that happens, or you must have a plan for if that happens, if it hasn't happened, what do you do?
Honestly, it's never come up.
Hmm?
Now, I've been doing this professionally since 66, by the way, just aged me.
Holy moly.
But I've been doing
this 50 years.
Honestly, it's just never come up.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I hear what you say. The other thing that was overtaken by the delay and that I want to get back to is that you said that you ordain people. What church is it that you ordain people in? Because a lot of churches have absolutely no truck, as we say over here, with anything psychic.
Oh, okay. It's interfaith. I'm within an interfaith ministry. That just means that you believe in one source. I happen to be Christian based, but it means you believe in one source, and we don't really care what path you take to get there. We don't care if you're, you know, Christian or Muslim or, you know, Jewish. We don't care what your belief system is, as long as you believe in one positive source, you know, a positive source.
Hmm. All right. Assuming, I guess, that all of these things stem from the same base.
Well, we really feel that there's one source. We don't really care what you call it. That sounded bad, but...
Okay, well, you can deal with the emails about that one.
You know, well, pretty much, you know, we really look at it as there's one source. Whatever label you choose to give your source, that's a personal view. Like if I'm talking to some of the Native Americans that I speak to, sometimes they'll say God, sometimes they do Mother Earth, Father Sky. It depends on their belief system. Mm-hmm. But it's still positive based.
I promise you will get to the new book and words having power, because that is what your publisher wanted us to talk about, and we will. What about life after death? Now, all of us will have to experience it. Many of us already have. Bereavement. I've lost my parents. I can tell you about the pain of loss. There is no loss greater. Well, you understand too. I would like to believe, and that's what keeps me going day to day, that they're still out there somewhere. What do you think?
Well, I definitely feel that there is more, there are more realities than what we physically see. So I do feel there are more realms. Actually, my parents both passed away, like yours. And just to give you an example, when my mother passed, I happened to be there. And when she passed, I was actually surprised, to be honest about it. I always assume that when you pass away, your body passes away and then your spirit leaves. Okay, because I do see spirits. So I always thought it was in that order. When my mother passed away, she was laying down and I saw her body from her waist up, literally just lift up. And I always felt terrible because when she lifted up, I really thought later on, I should have said, I love you. I hope you're all right. I'm going to miss you. And the only thought I had was, where's the rest of your body? And then she was gone.
Did you see her physically lift up, Maria? Did you see her physically lift up?
Not physically. I saw her spirit leave. And after she left, then her physical body took a couple of more breaths. And I was really surprised because honestly, I can talk to spirits sometimes, but I never thought that it was like that. I always thought it was in reverse. And then now I always felt bad because I thought, great, my last thoughts with her is, where's the rest of your body? Instead of, I love you, or something positive. So I still feel a little bad about that.
Every so often on this show, Maria, I talk with people who have difficulties with or are interested in and research demons and bad entities. In what you do, in that great range of things that are on your biography, do you come into contact with those if they exist?
First of all, I do feel they exist. I've truly never run across a demon. I do run across negative spirits and negative entities. However, what I always tell people, and it doesn't matter if they deal with me, the library, a friend, but what I always tell people is there's a subject called psychic self-defense. It doesn't matter who they learn it from. It doesn't have to deal with me, but I always tell people, if you're going to get into the spiritual, psychic, or the paranormal realm, you need to learn how to protect yourself. The difference is this. When we're safe, we will see or feel or sense, everybody picks up differently. We will see negative spirits or entities because we need to know what's around and what we're dealing with. The difference is they cannot get to us and they cannot harm us. Same thing with people that are negative. As an example, if somebody's jealous, they're sending you negative energy. It doesn't mean it's a conscious thing. So all it would do is deflect it. It's not going to affect you. You still need to know what you're dealing with. But I have seen negative entities. Again, they can't get to you if you're protected.
When you say you've seen them, have you physically seen them? Have you seen representations of them? Have you seen goblins, that kind of thing? When you say you've seen them, what does that mean?
That means I really see it with psychic vision. So I'll give you an example that's funny. Okay. I have a friend of mine that's also psychic, and he's out of state now. And he was helping me years ago to paint my living room. And he's tuned in the same way I am. So we were painting my room, and we were doing this for 2 or 3 days because, you know, you can't paint part of a house that quickly. And we were both really tired. It was starting to be daylight. And I look at him, and he's getting more and more aggravated. And he's dealing with the paintbrush. And every time he got about 3 feet off the floor, he'd make a kind of a semicircle. And he's getting more and more aggravated. So after a while, I said to him, "What is wrong with you?" So he said to me, "Look, I know you're calling in spirits and you're playing." He said, "But there's a little elf that keeps running back and forth. I'm trying not to hit him with the paintbrush. Either tell him to get a paintbrush or leave." You know, so we pick up things differently. Now, he didn't see it. He felt it. Sometimes I see things. Sometimes I feel them. Sometimes I hear them. Sometimes I just know. I never know how I'm going to pick something up. You know, and I do go out of body. So if I'm out of body, I tend to see things more than when I'm not. And, you know, I truly believe everybody has out of body experiences while they're sleeping. But they're safe in that situation. It's a little different than consciously going out of body.
How strange. I was just about to ask you that. I did a show recently about dreams with a guy called Greg in Canada, who's quite well known in the dream sphere. And we talked around the meaning of dreams and how things can appear to you in dreams. And you say that your sleeping hours are very important.
Definitely. Well, first of all, it helps you resolve situations. It gives you ideas. It's wonderful for creative ideas. And creative is really two different things. You can be creative outwardly, like art, or you can be creative mentally because somebody thought up the computer. That was a creative force. Or I love Einstein because he came up with a lot of ideas through insight. And I really feel everybody creative tunes into the same source consciously or not, because when it's time for new inventions to come out, you'll notice that different people in different countries and different areas around the same time will come up with the same concept because it's the right time for it. And in your dream state, you can actually ask for answers. So before you go to sleep, and everybody can do this, before you go to sleep, if you have a question where you can't make up your mind, if you ask for the answer, and I would always say you'd like to get the answer where it is understandable to you so you don't get symbols that you don't understand. Okay. You usually get the information within 3 to 4 nights. However, sometimes you'll get the information because it triggered it in the daytime. So all of a sudden you'll get an idea out of nowhere to resolve it or to get a better direction. And you're just not connecting it to you asked for it before you went to sleep.
Forgive me for this question. Got to ask it because of the time that we're in. The psychic stuff. If Hillary Clinton came to you and said, "Maria, am I going to be president?" Could you tell her? And is she going to be president?
I don't check politics.
Mm-hmm.
Ever.
Okay.
And I'm being honest about it. First of all, it's very difficult to tune into something you have absolutely no interest in. So it's not that I'm not interested in it, but since I can't do anything past the point with the outcome, I try to stay away from that type of thing.
And what about when you're doing interviews with people like me, and I haven't done anything like this with you because, you know, it's easy enough to do and I'm going to leave that to other people. But you're going to get people interviewing you, I would guess, on radio shows who think they're funny, who will say, "All right then, Maria, tell me something that's going to happen tomorrow." If you're put on the spot like that, can you do it? If I said to you, "Maria, tell me something that's going to happen tomorrow."
Well, I'd have to take more time to tune in through the country or globally, but individually I can check.
Okay.
So if you had, as an example, if you had that question about you, I could tell it for you, but I couldn't do it
instantly because you have to tune in differently for global.
Okay, now you've covered up, I think, the microphone on your netbook or laptop, whatever it is you're using. You're sounding muffled now, Maria.
Can you hear me all right now?
You've come back to me. Thank you.
I have no idea what happened.
Well, maybe it was some entity getting between you and me. Who knows,
well,
Maria?
I have to tell you, it's really funny. Tim always teases me because if I'm working psychically, I can't drive after. I try not to blow up my computer. I don't touch anything electrical for a while.
I've heard that. Do you know, I've heard that from other people who do this, that they can really disrupt. Yeah, they don't do anything that requires a lot of concentration. And on the other side of it all, they don't do anything that involves using equipment or anything mechanical or anything like that, just in case.
Yeah, and it's really funny because I can't afford to buy one more toaster. I really should have owned stock in the company.
Well, Maria, I have a feeling actually part of that is down to the fact that they just don't build them like they used to.
You know, that could be too. You know, I always feel, I have friends that are scientists, and I always feel that you look at everything scientifically first because the paranormal is really normal. So we tend to look at it as first we look at science and analytical and logical. And when we can't find an answer through that, then we go to the paranormal. It just means paranormal is just anything past your five senses. That's all that means.
Okay.
It's just understanding nature.
Now, I promised Tim, your publisher, that I would talk about Words Having Power, which is the new book. Tell me the exact title of this new book so I get it right.
Oh, okay. That would be helpful, right? It's called Supernatural Words of Power.
Does this mean that if you say, I am going to have $1 million by tomorrow at 5:15, you're going to get $1 million?
Absolutely not, because then I'd be loaded.
So sadly, it doesn't mean that. What does it mean?
No, it means basically this. First of all, there's really power in linguistics because we generate energy and force because everybody has a vibration. Everybody. So as an example, if you look at the planet's energy normally vibrates at 100,000 vibrations per second. Man is slower. So when we're manifesting when we're healing, we're matching the energy of the planet. Okay. So the way the power of words happens to be is that when you really focused for a period of time, what you put out in thought or verbally, because verbally vibrates stronger, eventually is going to hit. So as an example, and we all know people where they go, oh, I always have a headache. And then they're actually surprised when they get one. Well, we're always going, well, we know they're going to get one because that's all they talk about, right? So if you're really focused on something longer term, okay, then that eventually hits because we really have free will. We have control and it affects things around us. So as an example, if somebody thinking of things in the sense of a word, if somebody's saying to you, you know, I really, really care about you. I really love you. You're going to have a reaction. You're going to feel good. You're going to feel happy. You're going to feel a sense of well-being. If the same person says to you, you know, I really don't like you, it makes you feel bad. It makes you question it. So there's a lot of power in what we do without consciously thinking about it.
So what is supernatural about that? If somebody says, you're looking great today, you feel good.
Okay. The supernatural part is that you're going to be consciously using words that is going to generate the energy that you are looking for. If you want to be very successful in business, as an example, okay, if you're putting out that you're always going to be successful in this part of business, you will actually attract opportunities to you that are going to help you succeed in that, whether you're consciously working with it or not. So let me give you an example. I had a student, wonderful, wonderful gentleman. And when I met him years ago, he was always saying, I'm always unlucky. Nothing good happens to me. And he was basically looking at, he's always, always, always unlucky. So he changed the words he was saying. He did not feel it because you don't have to feel it emotionally to put that word out. So for about 4 or 5 months, he was saying, I'm really lucky. Everything comes to me. Opportunities show up unexpectedly that are going to benefit my life. I'm always lucky. He did not feel it. And through time, things around him changed. So eventually he started feeling it because he was winning little contests, not big things, but he started winning contests where he never did before. He won some money in the lottery, not gigantic, but consistent. He would go to carnivals and win all sorts of things that he never won before. And then he would give it to people as presents because he was starting to win jackets and tickets to the theater and to sports events. And he was winning so many things that, you know, he had an overabundance. He was giving people wonderful presents. So he didn't actually feel it until after he started winning.
Now, there is a flaw in this, and you can tell me why it isn't a flaw, but you know, a lot of people say it is a flaw, and I've always thought it was a flaw. If everybody did this, there is not enough abundance to go around. In other words, you know, not everybody can win the lottery, and not everybody can have everything that they want. So if lots of people use this technique, then wouldn't there be some kind of cosmic calamity?
No, because it has to be... let me see a way I can put this. First of all, what you have to remember is a lot of people really aren't going to use it. A lot of people aren't open to spiritual things, which is perfectly fine. So first of all, those people are out of it to start with. Okay. Now, the people that you have, say you have 80 million people. Okay. It also connects to what they came into this life with to work on. So as an example, say your path of life means that you're meant to be dealing with finance. That can mean you came into the world broke and now you're going to have millions, or you had millions and you lost it, or you have a lot of money and it's teaching you how to help people. Okay. So there is part of that that you came into the world with. However, you can still improve it. The difference is what level you're going to get out of it. So as an example, he never won like $1 million, but he was winning on and off and on and off. His path was not to be a millionaire, but he was still winning. So the levels may change, but the situation will come in. It's just a matter of giving it enough time and staying focused. I find that most people... he was focused for about 4 or 5 months before he started seeing results. A lot of people by then give up.
Okay, so it's a little bit like these supermarket offers. They say, you know, we're going to give away, we're going to give away a whole basket of groceries if you do this, this, and this. And the supermarkets know that only a small fraction of people will actually go through all the steps that they have to go through to get the basket of groceries. Similarly, you're saying that the cosmos knows that not everybody will ask for all the things that they want. So there will be always abundance for those people who are well-intentioned and ask for it.
Exactly. You know, so there is that level of it that I'll give you an example. If somebody is very, very negative in the way they think, okay. As an example with my student, if he was going, oh, I'm always unlucky. And he was not open to changing things and to working on it the rest of his life, he would have gone, I'm always unlucky. So you have to be open to working with things to improve your life.
Okay, well, I've known a few negative people in my lifetime, and I have to say that although I can be incredibly positive and I can really make things happen, there are times when, you know, you get tired and you start to think negatively, and then sometimes it's not so good. What I'm saying is, for those people who think negatively a lot of the time, the task of changing their thought process to do what you're talking about is a gargantuan one, isn't it? It's massive.
Right. Well, the way it really works is the more you put out in thought or word what you want as an outcome, when it starts coming in, that's when you change how you feel about it after it comes in. You can't expect to feel differently about it before you see a result. So as an example, in the book, I have a couple of different sayings. Okay? And one of the sayings that I have is I look at it as every day you speak your positive word and your life moves higher and higher. So say as an example, say, because we're all human, I have days that I'm upset with people. I'm not thinking positive. Otherwise, I'd be on the other side. Right? So what I find is, say I'm really upset at somebody. Say they hurt my feelings. I'm angry because, like I said, we're human. Okay. I don't want to think negatively because I don't want to put that out in the word to cause a negative reaction. So what I do is if I find that I'm thinking something negative, like I'm not happy with somebody, okay, what I do is I immediately use the word cancel and I replace it with a positive thought. So there are days where I may be upset with somebody. I don't want to hurt them by accident. So there are days that I bless everybody.
Good for you.
So I'm sending them blessings. I don't feel it. You know, that's like when you read books, sometimes it'll say if you have an enemy, you have to send them love. There is no way I'm going to feel love towards an enemy. It's honestly, it's not realistic because we're human.
I prefer the old Chinese proverb, Maria, that if you sit by the river for long enough, the bodies of your enemies will float past you. Do you know that one?
You know, so what I do, though, is if I'm sending love to somebody, I will say I am sending this person love energy. I will not feel it, but I'm not hurting them by accident. I'm not putting out anything negative, and I'm doing what I feel spiritually, ethically is right. It doesn't mean I feel it, though. I just go out of my way not to cause negative. Mm. But like I said, there are days I bless everybody.
All right. Now, I am going to get a certain amount of praise for putting you on because you're different from a lot of the people that I have on here. And I think we needed a nice character on, somebody to give us a bit of laughter. But I know that there will be people who will send me those emails. They're probably writing them now that will say, this is the most outrageous hooey that's all about making money. You know, they'll say it's all about you making money.
Well, you know, everybody does not have to agree. We're all diverse, and that's what makes life interesting. And again, we're not trying to convert anybody. You know, that's why, you know, when I was explaining earlier how I work, I always explain to people exactly how I work before they make a decision if they want to deal with me or not, because we try to stay positive. We just do the best we can.
New York is a very warm place. Whatever people may tell you, there is a heart and soul in New York, and I've seen it and felt it, and I know it. But nevertheless, there are some pretty hard-headed people there. I'm surprised that you're practicing what you practice in a place like New York. You know, a lot of people are not going to have any time for this.
Well, I find there's an occult law. Okay, occult again just means ancient wisdom, hidden knowledge. Every time I say that word, I forget in this country. When I say that word, because of TV, a lot of times people think voodoo and dead pigeon, you know?
Well, I was a little worried. But
It just means paranormal. It's just an older term for it. In Europe, we're still using the older terms, so I have to remember what term I'm using. But basically, there's a spiritual law that's better, right? There's a spiritual law that says like attracts like. So, and I'm sure everybody has seen this in their personal lives. If you're very positive, you're going to have a very hard time being around somebody negative long term. If you're negative, you're not going to like somebody positive. Your energies clash. They don't match. It's like, you know, when you have a magnet and you reverse it and it repels. So what happens is, say you're at a job and you have 10 people, and out of that, four of them are negative. You will not feel comfortable with those four people, whether you consciously realize why you feel uncomfortable or not. So a lot of times you just attract what you put out.
And how can you, is it possible, do you think, do you believe, to make people who are not well disposed towards you, in other words, who may not like you that much,
or right, of course.
Is it possible to make them like you?
I think it's possible, but why would you do that?
If it's a work situation, maybe for an easier life.
No, because like I said, like attracts like. I don't want to be around somebody that's going to be negative towards me. Mm-hmm. I don't need to change them because it's not positive ethically on a spiritual level to try to change anybody.
Right.
Because that's their natural path of life.
Well,
so you do have people negative in my field that will play with that. We don't.
That's massively interesting because I've worked at so many different places and most of them have been great. One or two of them have not really worked and I really have not gelled or meshed with the people. And some of them, I've got on with everybody. They've absolutely loved me, and they've understood me, and I've understood them. And just on a few occasions, it's been the complete reverse. So you're saying when you're in a situation like that, and it's the view that I've tended to come to, you know, a few times in my life and career, just don't bother. Find a group of people who work for you.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. And we can't control our environment on a job, as an example. Okay, but we can control our reaction to it.
Okay.
And usually I look at it as if I was working in a negative situation, I would try to figure out the best way to get out as soon as I could.
Well, that's been my way of looking at things. All right, what are you working on at the moment then? We've talked about the current book. What are you doing for the next project? There must be another one.
Actually, there is. There's always one, right? Mm. Okay, the next one, which we're kind of at the beginning of, it's the Common Book of Prayer. And basically, it's to help people that are into the ministry. And like I said, I'm teaching ministers a little bit heavier right now how to become ministers and to go out and do positive things to help other people. And it really tells you how to deal from that level. So it would tell you how to do different ceremonies, how to do weddings as an example, or baptism. So it's a little bit more focused on that area, where normally it's more how to for everybody. So
okay,
it gives you a little bit better understanding of how that works. And then we're going to move on to the next book, because everything else is on how everybody on the planet can use things to improve their lives, including this one.
And what about those people,
different aspect.
Just very quickly, and to tie this up, what about those people who keep on saying that some cataclysmic event is about to hit the world, like a global economic meltdown that will make everybody starve, or an asteroid that's going to come and wipe out a big portion of the planet? What do you think about all of that, those predictions that you read all the time?
Well, I tend to look at it, first of all, as it's overreacting, because first of all, globally, we do have changes. It doesn't mean that it's going to be on that extreme level. And you always have people that are looking for the negative more than the positive. I look at it this way, and this is just my personal opinion. I look at it as if you have 80 million people focused on something negative, eventually they're going to cause it on some level, because like I said, whatever you put out eventually will happen. If you have 90 million people focused on it's not going to happen, it's probably not going to happen. So I really look at it more as a global outlook.
And it's the balance of probabilities. And when you read these stories about the world is going to end a week next Friday, you know that most of the world is thinking, I don't want that to happen, and it's not going to happen, so it won't happen.
Actually, do you have time for a funny story?
Yes, I always have time for a funny story, Maria.
Okay. Years ago, remember when everybody said in 2012, the Earth is going to die in some form or another?
Yeah, I remember it well.
Okay. So I went to the Yucatan with my mother at the time, and I was talking to the Mayans. We went to Chichen Itza, and I was talking to the Mayan shaman. And, you know, when you're talking to somebody in your own field, you know, we all speak differently to each other, okay? Because we understand from a different level. Like somebody that's a mechanic is going to speak differently to another mechanic than to me, who knows nothing. So I'm talking to the Mayan shaman, and we're talking about 2012. And first he couldn't stop laughing. Then he said to me, he said, look, we're not going to say this to people because since the Mayan culture has the Aztec calendar, everybody's buying them now. He says, we don't want to affect our income negatively, he says. However, he says, all 2012 means in the Aztec or the Mayan calendar is now the end of it. The end of the calendar is coming up. All that means is that people in the Mayan community for years now have been working on the next calendar. He says, we're really annoyed because we're the ones stuck with the next calendar. He says, that's like somebody saying, every time your yearly calendar comes to an end, there's a disaster. He says, the only disaster is there's the one stuck making the new one.
Was it not Winston Churchill who said, this is not the beginning of the end, it's the end of the beginning?
Exactly. I love that one.
All right, Maria, if people want to read about you on that website of yours, and thank you very much, you've been a breath of fresh air and you've made me smile. What's your website?
Okay, it would just be www. And it's just my name, mariadeandrea.com. So it's mariadeandrea.com. And if they put my name into Google, then they get Amazon and Kindle and YouTube and everything else.
Maria, listen, have a good New York day. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much for having me on the show. It's been wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
One of the great characters of the unexplained world, I'm sure you'll agree, Maria D'Andrea. And I will put a link to her website on my website, theunexplained.tv, the website designed, created, and honed by Adam at Creative Hotspot in Liverpool. We'll have more great guests coming your way soon here on The Unexplained Online. So until next we meet here, please stay safe, please stay calm, and please stay in touch. Thank you very much. Take care. Bye-bye.